Okay. I have, most of you guys know Shannon and I for our 20th wedding anniversary, which is not until a little bit later, but now is the time when we had some time off because she's got to be going back to work. We spent 10 days in Hawaii together, which was just absolutely amazing. And I want to show you guys a video. And this video, a little bit of a disclaimer, I'm snorkeling, so I don't have a shirt on. So if you need to leave the room or you need to cover your eyes or whatever, that's just a disclaimer. I realized that as I was putting up there, I'm like, no, that'd be all right. All right, so can we... So this is actually in Maui. Not that. That's on the computer. I wasn't there. But this is in Maui. And that's a GoPro I'm holding in my hand. And I saw something down pretty deep. And so I dove down to check it out. So we'll see if... go ahead and hit it whenever you're ready. I don't think there's any sound. Oh, there is sound. Gotta wait for it. Wait for it. There he is. Huh? Pretty cool, huh? And I'm smiling. You can't tell, but I'm smiling. Anyway, that was bringing you guys along a little bit. Yeah, turtle. It was fun. That guy was huge. He's about this big around. And it's hard to tell. And that was about 25 or 30 feet. That's why I didn't get to hang out with him for a very long time. Because it was pretty deep. But tons of fun. That was on, that's Maui. Obviously, you can see like the clarity is just amazing. And got to see all kinds of stuff. And swim with turtles and... we went on, we were in 2 nights, 3 days on Maui, and then 7 nights. Yeah, 7 nights. 9 nights total on Kauai. And Kauai, which is a couple of the islands, but the roads don't go all the way around. They stop, and there's like a stretch of 17 miles of the coast called the Nepali Coast, which you've probably seen on movies. It's like in like Jurassic Park and things like that. Just beautiful. So we got to take a boat cruise thing and see all that, and just amazing and beautiful. Had a great time together and great celebration. And so anyway, I say all that to just say thanks for letting us go. And I didn't really think of you guys that much. I did miss you guys on Sunday, actually. And yeah, I'm just being honest. I know you guys can handle it. But actually, on Sunday, I did, we were, actually Saturday, I was like, oh, I want to go to church somewhere. And so I ended up finding this. I was actually thinking about it before, and then when we were on that Nepali cruise I was just talking about, we were sitting with some people, and this... young girl was talking about, you know, you kind of just like, everybody's from all over the place when you're on vacation, like, and but she was obviously by herself, and so we just started a conversation. What are you doing? And she was doing an internship there for 3 months, and she asked what I did for a living, and so I told her I'm a pastor, and she said, oh, are you going to church tomorrow? This is on Saturday, or it might have been Friday. And I said, oh, I don't know. I was actually just thinking about it. She says, you should come to church. I go to church at this church called, I can't remember the name of it. And I said, that'd be cool. And it just happened that it was like right down the street from where we were staying. And so I was like, all right, cool. I think I'll come. So anyway, I went, and great people, and it was fun. But it made me miss Mount Chapel even more. It made me just like, man, I miss my church. I miss my church people. I miss what Mount Chapel feels like. And of course, you know, Dave and Shanna and worship and just everything that this place is, you sometimes don't realize until you're somewhere else. And you realize what a blessing it is to be part of this family. But I started just kind of processing, like, why is it different? Because the people were just wonderful, super welcoming. I came in and they were just, you know, it was in this actual big tent. And it's a pretty big church, actually, maybe like 300 people or something. And it was all open, so it was like a tent with open walls. And it was permanent, but it was all set up. And I just was thinking, like, the people are friendly. You know, they're talking, it's not like it was just a Christian church. You know, they're just, I was thinking, you know, it's what makes it different. And some of it was just family, but it was also that familiar feeling of like, oh, these are my people, you know, these are, speak the same language kind of thing. But these kind of things, I started noticing some of the language, and it was the youth pastor, who was really pretty young, was speaking, because the pastor was on sabbatical or doing something. And so he was speaking, and they kind of, even in the greeting, like when I got there, they, you know, everybody's asking you questions. And so it was pretty quick that they were like, you know, what are you doing? Oh, what do you do? And where are you from? And I'm a pastor. And, oh, yeah, cool. And the first thing, it happened three times in a row before the service started. They were like, well, the pastor that, or the guy preaching today is just a beginning. He's just starting. And so, and I go, no. So anyway, but he did a great job. And he did a great job. He was probably early 20s, and he was just getting started. But you could tell he just loved the Lord and was sharing, you know, his story, and kind of kept going back. And he was just doing. I loved it. I loved it. But you could tell there's some little different things. You know, you start noticing like little different perspectives or different backgrounds or different, just different. And one of the things that I thought he did just an amazing job, and was obvious that he just loved the Lord and was just running after him with everything that he had. And so it was wonderful. But one of the things that I realized in that process of listening to him and kind of unpacking it in my head later on, and writing a couple little notes and stuff, was there were some perspectives that were different than mine. And one of those was what we've talked about so many times before, and actually the reason why we moved the cross to the back of the room about 8 years ago, was what we have started calling living on the other side of the cross, which really is how we view and picture and talk about and walk through forgiveness, and that how different forgiveness is from each side of the cross, meaning from if you split it by just kind of Old Testament or pre-Jesus and post-Jesus. And that sometimes we can actually get hung up viewing the cross from the Old Testament side, viewing the cross from, and really viewing forgiveness, really viewing that process from the side that is the law instead of the side that is freedom. And so, all this process, and so I'm, you know, being there just kind of in downtime, started thinking things through and kind of want to share some of that with you guys. But, you know, one of the big challenges, I think, for all of us is forgiving. Either forgiving each other, forgiving ourselves, being forgiven, of course, those are tied together. Experiencing forgiveness, experiencing what did it actually mean to be forgiven? What does it actually mean for me, for you, for us to be forgiven, to walk in forgiveness, to walk on this side of a perfect sacrifice in Jesus? That means, and what that means. And so now I kind of want to unpack that today and just share a couple things. But I know that sometimes letting go of you know, whatever it is, whatever manifests in that bitterness, resentfulness, offense, and sometimes it even surprises us, like we don't even know that we have unforgiveness until we run into it. It's like a, it can be in front of us, like running into a wall, or it can be something that we're dragging behind us. It's like, man, why can't I move? I'm like dragging something behind me. Because unforgiveness, and which oftentimes is the source of bitterness, and it's like an anchor. It's like a chain. It chains you to past, either yours or theirs or whatever. It chains you to something. It chains you to an event. It chains you to a person. And oftentimes it's a person that maybe is not even in your life anymore. Maybe it's somebody that's even passed away. Maybe it's somebody that was just an encounter from however many years ago. And one of the things that a couple times, I actually try not to talk about being a pastor when I'm, especially when I'm on vacation, because actually of some of this, like, because actually, unfortunately, most of the world can be divided into two groups of people. People that have a good experience with church and people that have a bad experience with church. There's not very many times in different countries that you do run into people that have no experience with church. That's really rare nowadays. It's often, way more oftentimes than not, there's unexperience or multiples of experiences that are either good or bad. And really, I would, most of the time, I just want to talk to people and hang out. I don't want to, unless we have a lot of time, I don't want to go back into all their experiences, whether they're good or bad. But anyway, because we get chained to our experience, we get chained to our perspective. And it's amazing how, and I know you guys experience this in a lot of different ways, but it's amazing how people will view you through their past. Right? We view the world and the people in the world through our own experiences. And so oftentimes, and what we really need to do, and I think on a regular basis, is actually inventory our experiences and make sure that they are pointing us in the right direction, that they are giving us kingdom perspective. And wherever there's lies that we believe or perspectives that are unhealthy, we shift them. We actually grab a hold of a greater perspective that brings a kingdom mindset that ideally leads to freedom. It sets us free. So, are you guys okay? Are you all right? All right. So why do we find it so hard to forgive? Again, I don't want to assume anything. Maybe it's just me. But I think sometimes we do figure out how to control our behavior. Sometimes. We do figure out how to control how we treat people. But oftentimes, like a lot of things, the battle's really in our mind. Like, we can control how we act towards somebody, but we can't always control how we think about someone. We can control how we carry ourselves, but we can oftentimes learn to hide how we think about ourselves. So we can control our actions. We can put a smile on. We can show up to things. We can answer the question, "How are you doing?" "I'm doing great." But when we're alone, when we're in those times, oftentimes we're not doing great. Oftentimes we struggle with our past. We struggle with letting go of our own things, letting go of our own stuff, and walking out the forgiveness that Christ died for. And like I said, it can be an anchor. And really, what I want for us this morning, at least at some level, is for us to get freedom, and for us to walk in a greater level of forgiveness, both first just accepting the forgiveness for ourselves, forgiving ourselves, but then learning how and setting ourselves up to forgive others as well. Does that sound good? Does anybody want to, that sound good for anybody? Okay. We're on the right track. So in order to really walk in forgiveness, I think we just need continued revelation. We just need to continued understanding. And so, just kind of lay out where I'm at. I mentioned, either side of the cross. One of the things I noticed about just studying forgiveness is the way that forgiveness is approached in the Old and the New Testament. And I'm going to paraphrase this and I encourage you, just read and study it out. And the internet's amazing for that stuff too. I don't mean read other people's stuff, because that can oftentimes go crazy. But I mean, you can do word studies and all kinds of stuff on Scripture, and it's a lot of fun. It's like a bottomless, endless exploration. But one of the things that I realize is that in the Old Testament, most of the interpretation of the word forgive or the idea of forgiveness was looking forward. So it was oftentimes a conversation about what will happen. If you think about the context that I could put it in my own head to kind of grab it, is that the way we actually do pay. So when you go to work, when you work, you get paid. If you work, you get paid. Hopefully, ideally, that's the way it works. If you work, you get paid. But we know for most of us, you got to wait a week, you got to wait 2 weeks. So you put in all this work and then you get paid. Now, we connect them synonymously with work and pay, but they are actually separate. We work looking forward to pay. We have some contractors in here. Sometimes they work getting paid is a lot farther away even for them. And so we actually have this concept. Well, in the Old Testament, oftentimes a lot of the context of communicating about forgiveness was that kind of concept. It was this looking forward to the cross. It was looking forward and pointing towards Jesus, the need for ultimate forgiveness. So there's a lot about sacrifice. There's a lot about, how things are supposed to be done, ceremony and all that. We're going to look at some of that. But a lot of it was what we'll read and what we read and what we study is that it was all looking forward to something. Because it just wasn't good enough. So it was like, you're going to be forgiven. Like, you got to put in the time because you don't want to get punished, because the wages of sin is death, and sin carries punishment. It always has and it always will. But forgiveness is, in the Old Testament, the ceremonies and the things that went, forgiveness actually postponed punishment. So, and that's why you had to do it every year, or often as different times, different things. But basically, there was a process to postpone punishment, looking forward to Jesus dying on the cross, the ultimate sacrifice, the pure sacrifice that would actually bring forgiveness. So in the New Testament, it shifts, it changes, and you start seeing things in past tense. So we've passed through the cross and you start seeing more things like forgiven or forgave, that kind of words, that actually there's a forgiveness is actually behind you now, that it's not something that's going to happen. It's actually something that happened. And it's pretty amazing when you start looking at it. It's actually really neat that, like, wow, something. We know, of course, something changed with Christ and the cross, but to actually see it in the way everybody communicated, in the way that messages were given, a lot of messages were very familiar, but something had changed. Now something, we had passed through something, and that something was the blood of Jesus, the cross, that brought forgiveness. So Ephesians 4, I'm going to throw out a bunch of verses for you guys, but Ephesians 4 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So see, the context of it is that it's actually already happened. It's not something we're looking forward to anymore. It's something that actually happened. And it's going to, hopefully that it'll make sense why that's important. Matthew 9. So this is Jesus talking now, which is just, anyway. So this is a story that a lot of us know probably, where some friends, it happened a couple times, but this one in particular, Matthew 9:2, says some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. What's amazing is you read on and it talks about that Jesus says, in order for you all to know that I have the authority to forgive sins. Get up and walk. Now, we know what happens. The guy gets up, he's healed, he walks out. There's a couple things that I want to point out that Jesus actually brought something to the world that we are still uncomfortable with. And that is getting something for nothing. It's absolute grace. We are still uncomfortable with it. Because nothing works like the kingdom in our normal world. It just doesn't. Only God works like that. Only God gives us something for completely nothing. I want to propose to you that your sins don't actually have to be forgiven anymore. They already are. The revelation of that forgiveness just has to happen. Your sins have been forgiven. They've been forgiven. The cross was once and for all. We don't like that, especially as believers even. Because like, what am I doing all this hard work for? Yeah. So it's this really interesting challenge, and it puts us in this really weird place of motivation and sorry, I'm getting a little bit off track. I don't want to. But I want us to grab a hold of the fact that forgiveness is about revelation, not permission. Forgiveness is about revelation. It's accepting and grabbing hold of a revelation. It's not about getting permission. It's not about your sins are forgiven before you ask. Your sins are forgiven because Christ died on the cross. All you have to do is accept that. Now, I know that's not popular. But I still believe that it's true. I really believe it is. It's hard to have a... I was in one of the things, I was just following a rabbit trail on the internet and came across this thing that... I can't remember the name of it. But it was something about... freedom from religion. That's what it was. Freedom from a religion, something or other. And I was like, oh, cool. Well, it wasn't. It was freedom from God. Is like, and it was like, as I was reading through, it was all the right freedoms for the wrong reasons. They were chasing like kingdom things motivated by bitterness and hurt. You know, motivated by, like what had happened is in a lot of ways, people have tied religion and God together so tightly that we can't tell the difference anymore. But religion is man's process to process. It's man's formula to process God. That's what religion is. Religion in itself is not bad. It's how we organize, right? Religion is why we showed up here today. That's why we showed up. We actually put a time out, and it's the same time every week, and we do things religiously. It's the way we process together our relationship with God. But religion isn't our God. Unfortunately, people, when they first get introduced to church, to religion, they think that's God. Well, religion is flawed. Unlike God. Because religion was created by us. So it doesn't always work. And it sometimes creates messes. And it sometimes hurts people's feelings. And it does all those things. And unfortunately, when people make religion God, and then religion fails them, or hurts them, or whatever, and they, instead of figuring that out, they apply that to their relationship with God, and then they carry an offense, or whatever, towards God. Oh, it's so sad. And I was reading through this thing, and this freedom, passionate person that's started this freedom of religion thing, and it was all the right stuff motivated from the wrong place. And I was thinking, man, I want to talk to this person and tell him, like, that's actually what it's supposed to be like, except for all the anger that's in there. But that's what it's supposed to be like. And anyway, I wasn't going to talk about that. But the point being that your sins are forgiven and that forgiveness is a revelation, not permission. There's not enough good deeds or even mind. You know, we talked about shifting mindsets. There's not enough effort to walk in forgiveness without revelation. Like, I don't know. We keep trying because we really want it to be. We really want it to work that way. We want religion to work. We want it to work. We want the law to work. We want it. That, like, if I learn all the things that I need to do, then I'll feel better about, you know, how I'm doing. Like, I had a good day today, or a good half a day, or a good hour, or good. I had 3 minutes where I was doing great, you know. And because we want to feel good about, and I just want to, challenge us that a true revelation of forgiveness actually brings joy. It brings freedom. It brings release. In Hebrews 9, I'm not going to read the whole thing just for the sake of time, but I have read this a bunch before. It's an amazing passage. I mean, you want to know about forgiveness? Read Hebrews. Like, read it all. Read the whole thing. It's all about forgiveness. And there's an awesome contrast. I'll read some of it, but amazing contrast between the way it was and the way it is. Why the Old Testament was the Old Testament, and why, and what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And there's more, like I said, more than I can read to you. But it talks about how I'm just gonna read. I'll read a bunch of it to you. I'm gonna paraphrase it and mess it up. So when everything had been arranged, I'll start here. So when they give all the, these are how things are supposed to be. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on the ministry. So into the temple and into all the process. Only the high priest entered into the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of a new order. I want to challenge you that if you struggle. And now there's a difference between a clear conscience and conviction. So there's a difference. It doesn't. The Holy Spirit is who convicts us. And if you're feeling conviction, there needs to be action. But once the action is done and the revelation of forgiveness has been accepted, if you're in the right place, understanding the way that the power of the cross, there should be a clearing of your conscience. And I'll challenge you that if there's not, it doesn't mean there needs to be, it could be, doesn't necessarily mean that there needs to be more repentance, or it might just mean that there needs to be a closer and more powerful revelation of the blood of Jesus. Just spending time in the presence with the one who sets you free. When Christ came, this is reading on in 11. When Christ came as a high priest of good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all, his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifers sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. That's like one of my favorite verses of all time. It's amazing that, listen, it's like, this stuff worked to cleanse you on the outside. Like, because you couldn't even exist in the presence of God, even in limited fashion as it was in the Old Testament. You couldn't even exist as sinful and blemished as we were. We haven't become less sinful. We just got salvation. We just got washed by pure and clean blood, not by animal blood. Are you with me? You guys okay? Hebrews 10:11 says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. The sacrifices in the Old Testament were never meant to take away sin. Just punishment. So, I propose to you that you actually can still avoid the punishment of sin through sacrifice. And we do. Religion, that's what religion does. It helps you feel a little bit better. You get outwardly clean. You can even live in reaping and sowing, and things can work in your life, and you can actually avoid the punishment of sin. But it never clears your conscience. It still doesn't. It never did then. It still doesn't now. The only freedom that actually comes has to come through the blood of Jesus. And the challenge that I've seen in that I am excited, hopefully, to see the day, but the challenge that comes through religion is that when we motivate people through fear of punishment, see, fear will get you there, but love will keep you there. See, if you get there through fear, as soon as you find out you're serving a loving God, you got to find something else to motivate you. And oftentimes we don't. Because we look around the church and we're like, we're surrounded by people that are motivated by fear. I must be in the wrong place. And so what happens? We got all these people that are trying to find God out there somewhere. Because religion, it doesn't work in that capacity. Are you guys with me? I'm not trying to talk you out of coming to church. What I'm trying to talk you into is like actually bringing God to church. Because without God in church, we just have religion, and religion is a drag. It's such a drag. But it is a necessity because it's how we process God with each other. We got to have religion or you won't know when to show up at church. Right? Like, we got to have it. Like, someone's got to declare, this is what time, and this is when we're starting, and this is what we're doing, and these are the songs we're playing, and this is what... Like, there is an organization, and God is in the formula as well. But how many of you guys know you can have formula without God? We can put on a really good show. I just, I'm not into it. Come on. I can just stop now. We'll also all go eat pizza. Preaching to the choir here. Hebrews 10:16 says, this is the covenant. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Sacrifice postpone judgment, but it didn't clear the conscience. So here's the next place I want to take it, if I have a few more minutes. I want to talk just briefly, because number one revelation is we are forgiven. We are loved, and so we are forgiven through the blood of Christ. But that actually means something. There's a responsibility that actually comes with it. There's a responsibility and authority that's given to us. We are actually responsible to communicate the good news to the people around us. Now, in the context of what we're talking about with religion, it's unfortunate oftentimes that we have learned to communicate religion and have forgot to communicate freedom. And, you know, we draw the, and we say religion or relationship. You've all probably heard that. I always say no when people ask me if I'm religious. Mostly because I'm not. But I know what they're asking. And even if I'm doing it single-handedly, I'm like, I'm going to break that thing that says, if you love God, you're religious. Because a whole bunch of people are religious that don't love God, and a whole bunch of people who love God aren't religious. So they need to be like separated, because they're both, because religion is good. It's not always right now, because we've messed it up a little bit in some ways, but I think it's getting better. I think we're getting better at it. We're getting better at keeping the main thing the main thing. We're getting better at keeping His presence in front of us. We're getting better at. The law was always meant to make us conscious of sin. Sorry, I'm skipping some things, but so why is that? Why is this whole thing important to understand? I think first and foremost for ourselves, because we need to know our freedom. Free people act free. The more free you know you are, the more free you act. And the most amazing thing about free people is they take ownership. They own the things. The opposite of freedom is actually a victimhood. It comes to our kids. It's actually being a victim. If I'm not free, then I'm actually a victim of, hi guys, come on in. If I'm not free, then I become a victim of whatever the circumstances are around me. And so first, it's freedom for ourselves. And secondly, it's freedom for others. Because we owe the world what we have received for free. Matthew 28:16 says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what authority is that that was given to him that he is now passing on and commissioning the disciples? I know I'm kind of speaking fast, but what authority is that? Because I believe that at that moment it was given, everything changed. See, we had the mankind had a responsibility to fulfill a law before that. So our responsibility was to walk out, staying clean and avoiding punishment. That was the purpose. The priests would get what they got from God, and we would follow. The people would follow. Now all of a sudden, there's a new authority through the blood of Christ. Because you are clean, because you are free, now you have authority. So what authority is it? I read in Matthew 9 where he talks about the authority that he was given to forgive sins. He says to the paralytic man, so this is 9:6, it says, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat and go home. In John 20:21 it says, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, here's the transfer of authority. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. That's a lot of responsibility. How many of you guys understand that as a believer, as someone who carries the Holy Spirit, you can actually chain people to their past? That's a lot of ownership. And trust me, to walk in that level of authority, you've got to be free. You've got to be free. If you don't walk in a level of forgiveness and righteousness, you can't lead people beyond where you've been. And what I mean by that is that oftentimes we feel unqualified to say what we're saying. If you don't, the other challenge is self-righteousness. So if I'm saying something because it's what I grab a hold of, you tend to err on the side of self-righteousness. But if you say something, if you don't say something because you don't have the revelation, for instance, your kids, like, especially when they're in teen years, and your kids are doing things that you kind of remember, I did that. Or maybe I did worse. And so maybe you don't say something, or you say it with a tinge of guilt, or you, that's actually a missing revelation of forgiveness. There's actually a missing revelation of the forgiveness that you walk in. Right? Like in that, when you hold on to your sin and drag it along with you, you actually take the power out of the cross. The power that is to reduce and to clean your conscience when you hold on to things. And because of that, when you walk into a relationship, when you stay with the relationship with your kids, because of that, you can actually chain your kids to their mistakes. You guys okay? You can actually chain them to what they do because of your lack of freedom. Your lack of forgiveness for yourself and your lack of forgiveness that translate into them. Okay, that's what I think. If we don't understand forgiveness, we create a culture of justice. Finding justice. He didn't just die for us. Christ didn't just die for us. He actually died with us. If you allow people to punish you for the things that you've done, you're saying that Jesus' sacrifice is not good enough. You take the authority out of the cross. Likewise, if you punish people for theirs. We as believers have been given the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling or redeeming. Remember that our greatest effort is to introduce and restore people to where He is, not where we are. And sometimes we get confused. Our goal as ministers of reconciliation is to invite them to Him, not to here. Now, I believe He comes to church here. So this is a good place as any to meet Him. Right? So obviously, I'm not saying don't invite people to church. I think God comes to church here. So if they want to come and they want to meet Him, this is a great place. But God doesn't just live here. Like, God actually, you bring Him with you when you go. Like, you understand what I'm saying. And so it's our ministry to not introduce people to religion or to church. That's just what good friends do. It's our ministry to introduce people to God. Good friends invite each other to church because church is fun. Hopefully. There's great people there and we have good pizza and we float on the river. Like, we invite our friends to church because church is good. Church is fun. And God is there. But we introduce people to the presence of God because we've been given the ministry of reconciliation and because we are free and we have a clean conscience from all of the stupid stuff that we've done and continue to do. And we want people to share that. People need reconciliation. Whether they think they do or not, they do. It's like visiting somebody in a prison. And you have the keys. And you say, would you like me to... No, I'm not in prison. Okay. And you walk by. Just because people don't know they need something doesn't mean they don't. It's hard. It's hard. And maybe we forget at times. But I know there's people that in here... I accepted the Lord when I was really young. And so I didn't walk through a lot of my life without Him. But I've walked through life with a lot of people before and after their connection with God. And when you remember, if you can remember back to those times of what it felt like, you didn't know what you were looking for. Oftentimes, we just don't even know what we're looking for. We know we're looking for something. We know something's missing. And sadly to say, a lot of people walk through the doors of the church and they go, this is not what I'm looking for. And they're right. Does that make sense? That has got to change. And the people that in this church that I visited, wonderful people. They were wonderful people. And if I was coming to meet wonderful people, perfect. But if I was coming to have an intimate... Now, I brought God with me, so me and God had a great time at church together, and it was wonderful. But if I was looking... It may have been difficult to find in the church setting. Does that make sense? Are you guys with me? I don't want to be judgmental. I just want to kind of make that point. So we're going to end with this. Revelation. Like the things that I'm saying, they only mean anything is if the Holy Spirit tells you they do. And there's two areas in my life that I've been, I do a morning thing just with the Lord, and that I've kind of added to my things that I just tell myself and pray through and talk to the Lord about. But they're the two things connected to this are the revelation of forgiveness and the revelation of authority. The revelation of forgiveness, like God, show me that I'm forgiven, so I truly understand my freedom. And then show me what authority that gives me to forgive others. Will you guys stand with me? I just want to pray that if that's you, just if you want increase in those areas, like honestly, I'm praying for myself every day. Like, I think the forgiveness is so amazing. The level of forgiveness that we're able to walk in is so off the charts that I think we could learn a little bit every day and continue to do it until we die. So as far as that goes, and authority is really the same way. Our authority and our love for people and our ability to release them from judgment or from offense or all that stuff. And so if that's you, if you just want to increase in that, just put your hands on your heart. And Lord, we come before you hungry for relationship, hungry for closeness, hungry for a kingdom heart and a kingdom mind, hungry for forgiveness, hungry for an understanding of forgiveness, hungry for clean conscience. But we know, Lord, it's easier said than done. It's easier preached than walked out. And so, Lord, right now, I just invite the revelation of forgiveness into this room, the revelation of forgiveness into our hearts. That as we read Scripture, as we pray, as we turn our eyes towards you and keep our eyes towards you, we fully just feel, experience, find the overwhelming reality that is forgiveness. That ability that you've given us through the blood of Jesus Christ dying on the cross to actually be clean in our conscience. Not just on the outside, not just ceremonial, not just religiously, but actually clean on the inside that our minds, that our hearts can be clean. And Lord, I pray that you would just give us and remind us the authority that we have, the responsibility that we have, that that is the good news. That people are forgiven and that all they need is a revelation. All they need is that it's revealed.